and in body or in spirit. Alleluia! Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed! Alleluia!
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sin. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life, that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be
seated. The first reading this morning is from Acts, the third chapter. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him the perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." This is the word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 4 responsively with me. "Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You give me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
When we are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder on your heads and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when the grain and wine abound.
I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make my lying down safety.
The second reading is from 1 John, the third chapter. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What he will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, and all who have hope, this hope in him, purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
And while those who were gathered were talking to the two that came back from Emmaus, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands, touch my feet, See that I am myself. Touch me and see me, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. Anybody else have a hankering for broiled fish right now? Sounds great at about 10:15 in the morning. So I have to ask, it's 10:15 in the morning, on a Sunday. What are you doing here? Oh, well, that sounded very, yeah. But seriously, what are you doing here?
Worshiping.
Worshiping. That was a little more convincing that time. I know you're in a church. I know you're worshiping on a Sunday. But what are you doing here? Don't you know a dying church when you see one? Don't you know a boring liturgy when you sit through it? A liturgy that is so 50 years ago. And who still uses organs anyway? Why? They have electric guitars. Don't you know that people of faith are becoming fewer and fewer in these United States? 1/4 of all Americans no longer ascribe to any faith tradition. And at some point, and it's probably not real far off, 30%, 40%, who knows how many, will no longer go to any sort of church. And your faith affiliation, this one, Lutheran, really? A mainline denomination. Could you be a part of any denomination that is dying more quickly? Well, maybe the Presbyterian. But there aren't many. I mean, if I were you, I would go find one of those praise band churches, one that has electric guitars and amps and fog machines. Could you imagine if when I went into that room to put this little getup on, if I came back out and there was a fog machine and I walked through the fog? How cool would that be? Fog machines, people. You should be running for the doors right now to go find a church with a fog machine. What are you doing here? Now, I should probably, these are rhetorical questions, okay? I'll let you know when they're not. I should probably give you some context, okay? Before you have one of those pastors not invited kind of council meetings and kick me to the curb for asking you, what are you doing here? So this, what are you doing here, rhetoric comes from one of the funniest, albeit strangest, conversations I ever had as a young engineer. And I've shared it here before, but it bears repeating. So it's 2007. I'm 24 years old. And I know you're thinking, like, 24-year-old Sean, he probably had a full head of hair. No. I was minding my own business. I was sitting in my cubicle. And an almost 60-year-old engineer in the office across from my cube, he just shows up. He starts looking at me, leans against the wall, and just stares at me. And then he starts to get this little quizzical smirk on his face. I'm like, what is happening right now? So he's got this quizzical smirk on his face. I'm just looking at him, and he says, what are you doing here? And I'm a 24-year-old engineer. This is an old, grumpy 60-year-old engineer. And I just look back at him. I'm confused. And I like stutter and stammer, I work here? But at that point, I wasn't even sure if I worked there anymore because he had mostly convinced me that I didn't based on the way he asked the question. And he said, well, I know that, idiot. Except for he didn't call me an idiot. He said something that I can't repeat in church. He said, but what are you doing here? Don't you know a dying company when you see one? Whew. 17 years later, as crass as he was not wrong. GE Lighting, as a brand, it exists. You can go buy GE light bulbs. But the company itself does not. Every GE-owned factory that made lighting products 17 years ago is now closed. The last one being the Bucyrus Lamp Plant, where I worked for over 10 years. So was I an idiot for staying with GE Lighting until I went to seminary in June of 2021? My wife would say yes, but I'll answer that question in a minute. And are we all idiots for being here? I mean, seriously, you could be sleeping right now. Sleep is so good. Or you could be at home drinking coffee while reading the newspaper, or God literally forbid, scrolling Facebook. Oh, I hate Facebook. Or you could be out at Bob Evans or Granny's or the Whistle Stop right now. Why aren't you there? Or you're not at a church whose parking lot is full, that inside they have electric guitars and fog machines. Why not? Because fog machines make you cough, let's be honest. But you're here. Why? I ask this because there are so many people today that aren't here or even at the fog machine church. Because this whole thing isn't for them. I ask this because last week I came across an article titled, The True Cost of the Church Going Bust. And I wrote a pondering about it, and then I posted a video on YouTube. And then this week I extended that pondering into a series and another video. And why did I do that? And why am I now talking about that same thing in a sermon to you all? Because this article forces us to reckon with a really serious question. What are we doing here? Don't answer. In your head. We need to reckon with this question, and now. And you might say, he's saying we need to reckon with this question for our own sakes, because look, the people are becoming fewer and fewer, right? Fewer butts in the seats for our own salvation as a congregation. We need to answer this question. But I would say it's a much bigger question than that. A much bigger reason we care about that question. Because the fewer people that are here, the more people that need to be here. 25% of Americans just don't care about organized religion, whether they're atheist, agnostic, or religiously unaffiliated, and that number of those disaffiliated, it will grow. So what are we doing here? Are we counting bucks in the offering plates and butts in these seats? Hey, 48 last Sunday. Hoping, praying that we can keep these doors open for another 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Is that what we're doing here? I hope not. All right. Enough glue. It's Easter, right? So with Easter comes these gospel readings like today's. It's another post-resurrection narrative. And what I love about these stories is the dissonance. There is a dissonance that we hear in these stories. We hear these stories as obvious good news of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And those in these stories are usually disciples. And the good news for them, I would say, is not so obvious. Because while we live in a post-resurrection world, they were living in a post-crucifixion world because they did not understand what the resurrection was, right? And there is a dissonance in these stories. They are living in that post-crucifixion world where they don't know what a risen Jesus Christ means. And in a post-crucifixion world, death, it is a certainty. Death is the end. So one of those disciples would be right to say, okay, now what? I spent 3 years following this Jesus Christ. He was crucified on a cross. Now he's dead. And it made no difference. What are we doing here? They have no hope. We do, don't we? But the rumors for these disciples, they start. These are unbelievable stories, literally unbelievable stories for them. So in Luke's gospel, which we hear from today, it begins a few stories before that. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other unnamed women. Why they're unnamed? Probably because a man wrote the Bible. They tell the disciples that angels told them that Jesus had been raised from the dead. So, like, nearest I can tell, that's like 12th hand information. Okay? So Peter, he's like, well, I don't believe them. So he runs to the tomb as fast as he can, and he finds what? Nothing. Burial cloths. So what is that proof of? Grave robbery? And then there is this story of a man that walks to Emmaus. And along the way, he meets two other men. And these men, they can feel a burning in their hearts, right? A burning in their hearts. And they invite this man to eat with them, to break bread with them. And they do. And when the bread is broken, that reveals that this man is Jesus. And then he disappears. Did it really happen? So they want to tell this story. And that's where our gospel today begins. They're telling this story to the other disciples. These same men that broke bread with Jesus at Emmaus, they are telling this road to Emmaus story to the disciples. And then Jesus just shows up. Except they know Jesus to be dead. He's dead. He died. He was crucified. So they say, this must be a ghost. This must be a spirit or an apparition. An apparition. This surely isn't flesh and bone. Because dead people don't just show up. They stay dead. And Jesus has the audacity to tell them, don't be frightened. Come on, Jesus. And then he says, why do doubts arise in your hearts? Because you were dead. And I don't know why, Jesus. Maybe because a dead guy is talking to me right now. Maybe that's terrifying and it makes absolutely no sense because I live in a post-crucifixion world. So what are you doing here? What are we doing here? Why do we gather on Sunday? Why are we a community of faith in the first place? What is the point when there are fewer and fewer people of faith, when there are fewer and fewer kids? We don't have room in the budget for a fog machine. Trust me, people, I asked council on Thursday for a fog machine and they told me no. That may or may not be true. We know how this ends though. What are we doing here? Does it even make a difference what we're doing here? We're hopeless. We're done. We're finished. Aren't we?
No.
you, Norman? I made Norm mad this morning, I can tell. But guess what, Norm? I don't believe any of that crap I just said. You know why? Because we live in a post-resurrection world. We are not a post-crucifixion people. We are an Easter people, which means we know Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, and that changes everything. So, was I an idiot for staying with GE Lighting until I went to seminary in 2021? I knew the company was dying. The plant did close. And every summer, though, I go golfing with former colleagues. Right? I buy Girl Scout cookies from one of those former colleagues from his daughter, not from him. He's not in Girl Scouts. And he buys Cub Scout popcorn, such a ripoff, but he does it anyway, from my kids. Three former colleagues went to my ordination. I got a random call this week from another of those colleagues. And to top it all off, on Friday of this week, I was over at the Pelican House in Bucyrus. I was meeting someone there. And all of a sudden comes in a woman that I hadn't seen in probably about 3 or 4 years. She's a retired fork truck driver from the plant. Her husband's rapidly declining. He has dementia. He's in a nursing home. And she saw me and I saw her. She just hugged me. We went and we embraced. And this was not one of those like short, oh good, it's nice to see you, how are you kind of hugs, but we don't really like each other kind of things. No. This was one of those, I really need you to hug me right now kind of hugs. And after like 5 seconds I tried to pull away, she pulled me back in for another 10 seconds. It was that kind of hug. So the GE Bucyrus lamp plant is dead. There is no denying that. But we are an Easter people. We are not a people that sees death as an ending, because even in death, there is always hope. The risen Jesus Christ, the one who eats broiled fish to show that there is life after death, he is our hope, and he is our answer to the question, Norm, what are we doing here? Right? What? And it's Sunday. There is an article that I referenced earlier, The True Cost of the Church Going Bust. It was actually written by a person who is agnostic named Derek Thompson. He is agnostic, which means that he claims no certain faith or any absolute disbelief in God. And yet he laments the church going bust. Why? Why? He says, just as America's churches were depopulated, Americans developed a new relationship with a technology that, in many ways, is the diabolical opposite of organized religion. I don't have mine right here, but I bet others have theirs handy. Raise your smartphones nice and high. Norm, I know you have a smartphone. I'm just kidding. The smartphone, right? The smartphone. He goes on to say, digital life, the life we live on that phone, it's disembodied, it's asynchronous, it's shallow, and it's solitary. Religious rituals, though, he continues, are exactly the opposite. So if I were to read what Thompson is saying there, he's saying that makes us, this place, First Lutheran, an embodied community of faith. We are an embodied community. That is also the answer of what are you doing here? So, you're like, wait, he said Jesus Christ was the answer to that question. And I will tell you, Jesus is always the answer. But Jesus and embodied community are the answer to that question. But we are not embodied community separate from Jesus Christ. We are embodied community because of Jesus Christ. Communities are not fully embodied unless they are centered in a truth that is much deeper than themselves. And our truth, Christians, First Lutheran Christians, any Christians, our truth, that truth is the crucified, risen Jesus Christ. The crucified and risen Jesus Christ and the embodied community that he creates. This place, First Lutheran, and the larger Lutheran communities that we are a part of, is what keeps us coming back to this community of faith, to our siblings in Christ, over and over and over again, isn't it, Norm? Absolutely. Now, can we, the people of First Lutheran, or our broader Lutheran communities in this area, can we stop the decline of organized religion in America on our own? No. And if that is our goal, we will fail. It is going to continue declining, and that is predictable, just as the grumpy engineer said that GE Lighting would stop existing all the way back in 2007. But what about this place here? Is our decline inevitable? I don't think that we have to accept the false premise that we are as good as dead. And why? Because we are an embodied community that does not accept death as truth. Because we do not live in the world that the disciples lived in, that post-resurrection world, that post-crucifixion world. We are a post-resurrection people, which means we are an Easter people. Ours is a post-resurrection world. Now, we will experience death. It is an absolute certainty, and I know this because we have experienced death. Everyone here, each and every one of us, as individuals and as a congregation, you have experienced the death of loved ones. You have experienced the death of ministries in this place, right? I bet you used to have a choir here, didn't you, Norm? I bet you used to have a bell choir. You know how I know? Because I see the bells, right? We have experienced death. The death of the old way of doing things. You share a pastor. Have you ever done that before? That is the death of an old way of doing things. You experience the death of full pews, of that attendance board being in the three digits. Right? You experience the death of weekly Sunday school. You experience the death of lots of children inhabiting this space. We bear these wounds. We bear this pain. We feel it. We have the scars to prove it. And we, this community of faith, in spite of all of that, we belong to a God that didn't even bother to stay dead. We are an embodied community of faith whose truth is the crucified and risen Jesus Christ, whose truth gives hope to the hopeless, and we have hope. We ought to lament the decline of Christianity, but not for our own sake, because we know the hope and the truth of the risen Jesus Christ. We ought to grieve for those who don't know, who have never experienced embodied communities just like this one. Because when death comes knocking on our door, we can shout, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" We can say that because our Christ is risen. We know that death cannot and will not ever win because we are a post-resurrection people. For those who know nothing other than the false reality of a post-crucifixion world, a world where Jesus did not rise from the dead, I grieve for them. So I must ask, what is keeping you? What is keeping you? What is keeping me? What is keeping all of us from inviting those who believe that death is the end, that believe that death has the last word, into this community of faith? Everyone needs this hope. They don't need fog machines. They need Jesus Christ crucified and risen. And guess what? We are called to invite. We are created to invite. We are created to welcome people into this community of faith. Not to fill up the pews, not to fill up those offering plates, because they need this place. They need this embodied community that proclaims the Easter truth.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear and death, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of the good news.
O God, our Holy One, you feed our deepest hungers. As we share the holy meal that is the body and blood of Jesus given for us, let us invite and welcome all to this table that we may share all that we have and find in generosity abundant life. God of grace,
hear our prayer. O God, our Savior, you offer wisdom and guidance beyond all human knowledge. Instruct lawmakers, judges, and elected officials to make decisions grounded in your justice and care for all people. Where your people are suffering for lack of food and clean water, guide congregations like First Lutheran to discern our role in supporting global food organizations such as ELCA World Hunger. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Creator, you bring forth all life on earth. Where storms rage, calm them. Bring your life-giving water to parched ground. Remind us that this is your creation and you called it good. Call us all to be stewards of your good creation, that this planet would sustain life in all its variety. God of grace,
hear our prayer. O God, our elder, you care for all your children. Encourage those who are in times of transition and face loss and unwanted change. Guide those who journey in grief, hope, and uncertainty. And care for those in need of special prayers this day, including Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, David, Ed, Marcella, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Sally, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Sandy, Bill, Linda, Wilma, Hilda, Daryl, Jane, Carol. We also lift all the people embroiled in the crisis in the Middle East. Be with them. Guide them. Keep them safe. We also pray for those who we lift now, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We continue to raise to you all those who suffer in places of instability due to war and ongoing gang violence, especially in the Middle East, Gaza, and Ukraine and Russia, and in Haiti. God of grace.
O God, our center, you bring all people together in you. Help us to remember our identity and purpose in our ministry here at First Lutheran. Remind us of the new commandment you gave your disciples as you gathered in the upper room for that final meal, to love one another as you first loved us. Move us to love our neighbors and ourselves and to share our beloved faith community with the community of Galleon in which we have been called to serve. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. At this time, we will continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Risen One, you call us to believe and bear fruit. May the gifts that we offer here be signs of your abiding love, from us to be your witnesses in the world through Jesus Christ, our true vine. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome and Joanna and all the women and Peter and the two on the road to Emmaus and all the disciples and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, with cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn singing. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for his disciples saying, take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. It is with this bread and cup that we remember our Lord's Passover from death into life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ is
O God of our resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast and grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us and send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us
We are a community that becomes embodied in and through Jesus Christ, in and through these gifts of his body and blood. Come to this table where all are always welcome and eat. Broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
You may remain seated. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Shepherding God, you have prepared a table before us and nourished us with your love. Send us forth from this banquet to proclaim your goodness and share the abundant mercy of Jesus, our Redeemer and friend.
Amen. All right, a few announcements this morning. Let's see. If you're on the worship and music team, please stay after worship so we can pick some music and, you know, worship. Be great. Grief Share will meet on Monday, continues to meet on Monday at St. Paul. If you know anyone that could use that ministry, please communicate that to them. I will continue leading a Bible study at St. Paul at 3 o'clock on Wednesdays. It was very well attended last week. I didn't see any of you guys here. Maybe you. Were you there? I don't remember. Anyway, it was awesome. Please consider joining that. One thing that I definitely forgot to have in the bulletin. This Wednesday at 7 p.m., there is a Lutheran partnership meeting at St. Paul, 7 p.m. If you joined us last time, we had a great turnout. Please consider going again. If you didn't join us last time, you are more than welcome to join us this time. It will be at St. Paul in North Robinson at 7 p.m. Any other announcements this morning? Lydia's like, please no, please no. Anyway, with that, please stand for a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ suffered and rose from the dead on the third day, and being witnesses to his resurrection, we are bold to proclaim that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.